Today's reading is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we, as we begin this journey through the Acts of the Apostles, help us now to just take that overview and have a foundation for all that is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our past two sermon series have been on the fruit of the Spirit and our five community transformation goals. The fruit of the Spirit was telling us what kind of people we should be in order to make an impact in the world. The fruit of the Spirit are a reflection of the values of God's kingdom. And the transformational goals represent God's kingdom coming to earth in this area, Collier Row, and beyond. It's a case of our being, represented by the fruit of the Spirit, turning into doing to bring community transformation. Having completed these two sermon series, we need some advice and to hear from the Lord about how we're going to be going about the doing. So what better place to start than the Acts of the Apostles? We can learn from the early church about it, what it means to be a missional people. But first of all, we're going to have a bit of an overview of the book of Acts. And I thought it'd be a bit of fun today to see the same video clip that the children are going to see. So stand by for a kids' video clip. But I thought it might just join us all together as we're beginning this, whatever age we are. So stand by for a kids' video clip.
God's story. Acts. So part of God's story is a book in the Bible called Acts. It's about what happened after Jesus died and came back to life. And it goes like this. Just before Jesus went up to heaven, he told his followers they were going to receive power because he was going to be sending them the Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't understand what that meant at first, but then the Holy Spirit came down to the disciples on a holiday called Pentecost, which is when the early church began. You see, Jesus had also said the disciples would tell the stories about Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but also that they would go to the ends of the earth. That would have been impossible for the disciples to do on their own. They needed the Holy Spirit to work through them. The Holy Spirit worked through the disciples as they taught about God's kingdom, shared their food and money with one another, and helped the poor and sick. which were exactly the kind of things Jesus had shown them. Because they were helping people and telling everyone they had met about Jesus, more and more people decided to become followers of Jesus. These early followers of Jesus were called followers of the way, or Christians. Things went well for the early church, for a while. But the same religious experts and powerful rulers who arrested Jesus also tried to stop the early church from growing. They didn't like what the disciples were teaching about Jesus, that Jesus was the true Lord and King of the universe. And in Jesus' kingdom, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, man or woman, slave or free, from one country or another. Everyone is welcome, and everyone is equally loved by God. Soon, things got dangerous. After a man named Stephen was put to death for following Jesus, the early church split up and went into hiding. Some people went to Judea and Samaria, and others went as far as they could possibly go. It was exactly what Jesus said would happen. But it happened in unexpected ways. Like when a Jewish follower of Jesus named Peter had a vision of all kinds of animals and food on a blanket coming down from heaven. Even though Jewish law said not to eat certain things, God told Peter he could eat anything he wanted with whoever he wanted. The Holy Spirit wanted us to know the good news of Jesus was for everyone. No matter who you are, where you live, the color of your skin, or what food you like. Or when Paul, another Jewish man, saw Jesus with his own eyes. Jesus told him that God had chosen Paul to spread the message of Jesus to the Gentiles, which meant anyone who wasn't Jewish. Paul would go on at least 3 huge trips to different countries, spending the rest of his life talking about Jesus with everyone he met, including religious experts and powerful rulers. Peter and Paul are just 2 of the people who played a big role in the early church. Their stories are a big deal, because they show us what it looked like for Jesus' kingdom to spread into all kinds of different places and cultures. Paul wrote a bunch of letters to small churches all around the world, and some of those letters are part of the Bible we have today. There were also brave, caring women like Lydia and Priscilla, who were important leaders and teachers. The book of Acts is about all sorts of people who seem very different, but had one thing in common. They follow Jesus. Anyone who is a Christian has something else in common too. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped the people in the early church, and the Holy Spirit still helps people who follow Jesus today. Whenever people hear the story of Jesus for the first time, whenever people choose to follow Jesus and join a church community, whenever God gives people special abilities, knowledge, or courage that helps them be more like Jesus, that reminds us of what the Holy Spirit has always done, going all the way back to the early church. And that's a little bit about the story of Acts. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. God sent Jesus' disciples the Holy Spirit. The early church started growing. Some people tried to stop the early church. Christians had to hide. Peter had a vision. Paul spread the good news. Lydia and Priscilla were leaders. The Holy Spirit still helps people today. And that's a part of God's story.
Amen. So, yeah, a bit of fun, but it just helps us to set the context. So Acts was written by Luke, who wrote the third gospel account of Jesus' life. And the first 11 verses of the book of Acts we've heard today set the scene. They describe the period between Jesus' resurrection and the ascension. They represent the turning point between the two books that Luke wrote. And specifically, we're hearing the words of the risen Jesus. In the final chapter of Luke's Gospel and the first chapter of Acts, they kind of overlap as we hear what the resurrected Jesus said before he ascended back into heaven. The ascension of Jesus marks the end of his earthly ministry and the start of his heavenly ministry. So there's this kind of transition going on. The resurrected Jesus made a number of appearances at different times and at different places to different people. Some years ago, when we had a tour of the Tower of London, we were told about King Edward I. That was his base, that was his home. However, he kept moving to other places for a period of time. And he was a very tall man for the time, very distinctive. And what he was doing, he was proving that he was alive by being spotted in the different places. He couldn't be everywhere at once, but he was demonstrating that his enemies hadn't killed him. So, with the risen Jesus, making it clear that he was risen from the dead. But even so, he could only be at one place at one time, even in his risen form. But the ascended Jesus can be with each of us wherever we are through the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Between the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus taught on three particular topics recorded in Luke's two books, the end of his gospel and this first chapter of Acts. And the three topics are God's kingdom, God's forgiveness, and God's spirit. Jesus wanted to make it clear that these three topics were the foundation for the mission of the church: God's kingdom, God's forgiveness, and God's spirit. It was kind of like a period of revision for the disciples. Jesus had taught and demonstrated these things all the way through his ministry, but he wanted to prepare them for the exam to come, this sort of time of revision. And all three of these topics relate to heaven, the place to which Jesus was to ascend. So let's take these three topics in overview. So first of all, heaven and God's kingdom. So we're going to look at each of these three in relation to heaven. So heaven and God's kingdom. Our Father in heaven begins the Lord's Prayer. Jesus returned to his Father in heaven, but where is heaven? Is it a faraway place beyond the blue? Is heaven simply a state of mind or heart? How about we look at heaven as God's space? It's where God inhabits. God's space which breaks into our space, making heaven a further dimension of our world. So heaven is in fact an earthly reality. God's kingdom is the place and time where heaven and earth intersect. It's where heaven breaks into our reality. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Despite hearing all of Jesus' teaching over those 3 years, the disciples still hadn't completely got it. And they asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" The disciples were still thinking about a political or military solution. Like so many at the time, they wanted to see the occupying Romans thrown out. But Jesus was pointing them forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that connects heaven to earth. The disciples' comment was rather like us saying, "God, please throw out the government and put in place a perfect system so that all our problems will be solved." So in the time of the party political conferences, that's a very tempting prayer to make. However, the kingdom of God doesn't work like that, much that we would like it to. The kingdom of God comes with small inspired actions by each one of us as we work towards our community transformation goals under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're seeking for God's kingdom to come. Every act of compassion, healing, and justice is a victory for God's rule from heaven to earth. And as we do so, then Jesus is proclaimed that we will be pointing always to him so that more people will come into his kingdom as believers and to continue and multiply the work. We don't want to see all hell let loose in our area. So many things that we hear on the news are like hell let loose, aren't they? We want to see heaven breaking out, which brings me to heaven and God's forgiveness. Heaven and God's kingdom now, heaven and God's forgiveness. Verse 3 tells us that after his suffering, Jesus appeared to his disciples. Jesus suffered on the cross that you and I might be forgiven. Do we live as forgiven people? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is the only conditional part of the Lord's Prayer. You and I are citizens of heaven, but we throw away our citizens' rights every time we bear a grudge and don't say sorry. Every time we say sorry and offer forgiveness to another, then heaven breaks out on earth. This is why repentance and forgiveness was such a foundational part of Jesus' teaching and what he ultimately died for. It's what sets apart the Christian faith from any other faith. You may have heard one of the stories from a woman called Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch woman in the Second World War. She and her sister Betsy were committed Christians, but they were sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp for hiding Jewish people from the Nazis. Of course, they had an unspeakable time, and sadly, her sister Betsy died in the camp. Corrie survived, and in 1947, she was speaking in Munich about God's forgiveness. And among those attending, she recognized an ex-camp guard. To her horror, he came up to her at the end, and she recognized him as one that she and her sister had to walk naked by, utterly humiliated. And he told her how he had since become a Christian. He said to Corrie ten Boom, "You said that our sins are like they're at the bottom of the sea." He said, I know that I am forgiven. Can you say that you forgive me?" As you can imagine, Corrie ten Boom had a massive struggle. She thought, "How can I forgive this man who did unspeakable things to us in that camp and to so many?" But she knew what she'd just been speaking about. She knew that if we withhold forgiveness from others, we don't walk in the benefits of that ourselves. He put his hand out to her, and with a great struggle, she took hold of his hands, shook his hands, and said, "I forgive you, brother, from the bottom of my heart." And she described how it was like electricity going through her arm and into the arm of this man, just overwhelming presence of God. And she said she'd never known the love of God like at that moment. So heaven touched earth in that moment. And it's the same every time we forgive. The Holy Spirit moves powerfully when forgiveness is offered and received. So heaven and the kingdom, heaven and forgiveness, heaven and the Holy Spirit. The story goes that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he met the archangel Gabriel. And Gabriel said to Jesus, "Well, you're back here now. What's your plan for the salvation of the world?" And Jesus said, "Look down there. Look at that group of men." Gabriel said, "The disciples?" And Jesus said, "Yes, them." Gabriel said, "That motley bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, guerrilla fighters?" Jesus said, "Yes, them." Gabriel said, "Well, Peter, who denied you? James and John, who are vying for position. Thomas, who doubted you. Jesus said, yeah, it's down to them now to continue my work. Gabriel said, what's your plan B then? And Jesus said, there is no plan B. It's because of plan A that we're all here today. You and I are all part of plan A. Of course, it can feel massively daunting. It's not possible in our own strength, but it is possible in God's strength. Jesus promised the disciples they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jesus' mission had not finished at the ascension. Jesus' final saving act is to pour the Holy Spirit on his people. Jesus is still controlling God's mission from heaven. As I said, it's the Holy Spirit who connects heaven to earth. The Holy Spirit connects the risen and ascended Jesus to you and me today. It's a wonderful act of delegation to the church. But it's not abdication. It's Jesus who gives you and me God's Spirit to empower us to continue the work he began. And that's, of course, why the Acts of the Apostles is often known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. God working through human flesh by the Holy Spirit who he poured out upon them on the day of Pentecost. Upon that ordinary group of men, the disciples and others who were gathered, and on the women too, they did extraordinary things in the power of the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom broke in from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and beyond as the Holy Spirit sent them throughout the Mediterranean nations. The book of Acts has 28 chapters, and as Christians today, we're writing chapter 29. Our foundations are the same as the early church. So, as we set forward in this sermon series, let's be clear about our foundations. They're God's kingdom, God's forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit. So let's continue to be God's plan A for the salvation of the world. Yep, you and me.